We're about to embark upon a new sugya. It's a fairly short sugya. It's, I guess, depending on what your definition of easy or hard is, it's you can call it either one in terms of that. It's a little bit less on the chinas tevela, tamkika, bitum shishim kind of stuff. On the other hand, it's a little bit more cheshbonis. In terms of just figuring out, identify a little bit of metzias. But we'll try to figure out the details of the sugya as the sugya appears in front of us. So the sugya is the next stage of our long sugya of Zerua B'Shehila, which has so many different aspects to it. But now we've bumped into almost the nitty-gritty in terms of the mathematical part of the sugya of Zerua B'Shehila. And the starting point is that we're learning something grandiose from Zerua B'Shehila. We are so excited about these Pesukim and Chumash that are describing Zerua B'Shehila. We are not sure whether our excitement is on the level of the Araisa, whether our excitement is on the level of the Rabbanim. We saw Tosfos told us that don't get too excited about the sugya, because relax, because in a Torah there's nothing going on, because the whole thing is midrashim, the whole thing is not to be able. The Torah tells us they knock down the excitement to the level of Rav, but we're still pretty excited. It's not that there was still excited also. According to Rashi, we are really excited. Rashi, some seifers, I mean, come on, we're learning so we're very excited. It's a level of Araisa. But no matter how you slice it, at the end of the day, it all revolves around a ratio within the parasha, within the din of Zerua B'Shehila. Highlight again from the other day that the Zerua is clearly the Dover Osir here. Even if that was an Osir, the Torah is Larina, but from the Zerua, from the Zahar's vantage point, it's the Dover Osir, it's Kedusha. Whereas the rest of the aisle is a Dover Mutter. And again, there are dinim that govern how to eat the rest of the aisle. It's Kachim Kam, it's not exactly a piece of regular barbecue, but from the regular, I'm a regular Yisrael guy, so from my vantage point, the Zerua is a Dover Osir, and the aisle is a Dover Mutter, and therefore we have to react and we have to cheshbin what the numbers are here. So comes the Gemara and says that this is the magic number. There's no question this is the magic number. We're just not sure what the magic number is. We're going to win something. We're just not sure what numbers we're going to put forward here. So comes the Gemara and says there was a Machlokes HaMaroyim within the world of Rabbi Shimon Levi, two different traditions, as to whether these psukim ultimately serve as a source for bitul b'shishim, which is, of course, what we're familiar with. We know that's the end of the story. Or whether the real number is bitul b'meya. Now, we've heard of bitul b'meya, but the bitul b'meya that we know of from Truma has nothing to do with it. Don't even get confused with bitul b'meya of Truma. So we want to know, bottom line, Rabbi, I got a shayla from Chavi on my potato soup. Do I go with the magic number 60? Do I go with the magic number 100? The Gemara says, everybody derives it almost from Zerua B'Shehila. They're just not sure what do we have in Zerua B'Shehila. So before we can do the math in terms of ratios of Zerua B'Shehila, whether we have a ratio of 60 or a ratio of 100, we have to have some facts clear, namely, pinpoint the Dover Osir. It's hard to talk about a ratio of Heter Isser if you're not even sure what the Dover Osir is, and that's really where the sugya begins. So the Gemara quotes Machlokes and says that the magic number is 60 and the magic number 100 all revolve around very, very simple calculation, simple cheshbin. Which part of the Zerua is really the Dover Osir that we're reckoning with? You can understand in one of two ways. Either you could say that the entire Zerua. You can't eat the Zerua. Finish the Zerua, it's Kodesh. You can't eat the entire Zerua. What is in a Zerua? Look at your own Zeruas. Zerua, got some good fat over here, good muscle. Rabbi, okay, a little arm wrestling for kind of parties. I got some bone over here, right? So I got a little bit of meat, got a little bit of bone. So an animal, no doubt, has a little bit of meat, a little bit of bone. So one day the Gemara says, okay, good. So the meat's a problem, and the bone's a problem. Everything in Zerua is a problem. It's all thrown into the shoulder being a double officer. And you have to be shy here. X number, can then get the Zerua, the boss, and the Yetzomus. And the Gemara takes a step back and says, no, not so simple. Maybe the Yetzomus are not a problem with it. Maybe the Yetzomus don't bother us. Why don't the Yetzomus bother us? I could hear a case to say the Yetzomus don't bother us because they're not what? They're not really animal. They're not really animal. They're not really boss. The Torah says, you know, let me boss of a double tree. It's not really boss. They chew the bones a little bit, you know, get the mark out a little bit, and the marrow. It's not really edible, it's not really meat. And maybe one can make a case that the bones are not really baba cheshbon. So Gemara says, you're right, that's exactly what the issue is. So the one who says that you follow shishim, he has a certain understanding of bones. The one who says you follow mea, he has a different understanding of bones. What does that mean practically? If you hold that bones are in the cheshbon, if you really believe that bones pose a problem, that means you just hiked up the amount of Isser here. Now, the aisle is only X big. The aisle is only a certain size, and the Torah is saying that you have the ratio. So even though on the Isser side, on the Isser pile, you just hiked up the number significantly by piling up the bones onto the meat, you have so much Isser, and you only have X amount of aisle, so it must be, the Torah says it's still okay. Must be the Torah is telling you, it's still okay, even though you don't have such a tremendous ratio, but you do have shishim. And if you just cheshbon out if you do the basar, the atzamos, let's take a look at the Gemara inside. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara. So man diya b'shishim, sova basar v'atzamos padi basar v'atzamos b'sharinen. Favale b'shishim. So if you're willing to say that there's so much isser here, including atzamos, on top of the basar, even that you have to reckon with, and still the halacha is that it's mutar, it must be that shishim is the good enough shear. Shishim is sufficient. So that's if you hold basar v'atzamos. But if you hold that atzamos are not part of the Yisr, atzamos are not really trek, atzamos are not really kodesh, the only thing you have to reckon with is what? Is only the basar. So what do you have? You have a much, much smaller amount of Yisr here, and presumably you have the same what? It gets a little bit tricky, right? You have the same what?
Ratio.
You have the same, I didn't say the same ratio, you have the same ayil, it's the same size ayil, so now the Torah is depicting to you a different picture. If you hold it, the only thing that's a problem is basar, and the Torah says it's okay, that little bit of basar is buffel in this tremendous ayil. So it turns out that what number is the Torah giving you? A much, much higher ratio. The Torah is not willing to permit you with a mere low number of 60. When you redo the math, taking all the atzamos out of the picture, and al zedemar, what's the shiur? 100. So at the end of the day, what ultimately matters is this atzamos also or not? If you really believe that the atzamos are a problem, so then, in effect, the Torah is describing the magic number shishim. If you think that atzamos are lamal of lamagrid, if you think that atzamos are not also in the first place, and the Torah is still insisting that you have an entire aisle there, it must be that the Torah must be hiking up the ratio, the shear must be 100. That's the simple reading of the Gemara.
I can
so,
also assume though that the minimum, you could also have been 60.
Okay, wait a second. So the premise of the entire sugi is, in theory, the number could have been lower. Because maybe the Torah is not saying this is what's necessary to be mutter, maybe even less is mutter, but if you say that, then you just undermine the entire drasha of Zerah B'Sheila. So no matter what, Zerah B'Sheila is only teaching to me what the number is. Whatever the depiction of that illustration, whatever the story that is being described in the Torah is, that becomes the Shia. I gave you the Deraisa Derabbanan. So this is how the Gemara presents the story. So of course there is an obvious question. There is the most partial obvious question in the sugya. What's the question that stares, that screams out at us in the sugya? What's the question that screams out at us in the sugya?
Same amount of each.
Oh, so comes Rashi and says, wait a second, hold on. Even if you take the number, even if you think that only basar matters, and you threw atzamos out of the picture, that led you to an unbelievable chumrah that you need 100 because you think you have the same size aisle? What's the answer? No, you don't. You don't really have, what do I mean by that, you don't have the same size aisle? What?
You're the kind
what?
Of the
boat
for all that
are Rashi. If you think that atzamos play a role in it was kasherus, so they play a role, bein l'kula, bein l'chumrah. So if they play a role, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, wait a second. In the aisle itself, there's also a peckle of bones in there, and we have to throw those bones out the window. So the same way that we're not reckoning the bones, the Yisr, we shouldn't reckon the bones, lehetir, either. So it turns out, what's your number? What's your magic number, even if you deny bones, even if you ignore bones? What's the magic number? You don't have the same amount of aisle as you had according to this man, the Omar. What number do you have? What's the ratio? What's the answer? Shishim also. Because aren't the facts the same? Whatever amount of bones you have in the Zeroa, don't you have those same amount of bones in the leg, in the head, and the neck, throughout, dispersed throughout the animal? Presumably you have the same pretty much ratio of basar to atzamos. So Mamanu Shach says Rashi. If you think that tzemus play a role in hukas kashrus, that's fine. I have no problem. If you believe that tzemus play a role in hukas kashrus, then the magic number is 60. And if you think that bones don't play a role in hukas kashrus, so they don't play a role bein less or bein lahatir, and the Torah still says it's okay. Zetman from Do, what's the magic number the Torah is saying? Even according to those who deny bones, what's the magic number? Like the shishim. So Rashi's own Gemara doesn't make any sense. How could the Gemara pin the issue of shishim or meya on do you accept the significance of bones in kashrus so that? So Rashi's stuck. Rashi's mamish, working. See, Rashi's sweating in this kasha. So what realization, what observations does Rashi make? Rashi comes up with an observation that has nothing to do with halacha. It has to do with what? Has to do with who does Rashi talk to? The orthopedic veterinarians. You got to check out with the orthopedists. They ask them, what's the ratio of bones to meat throughout the entire animal? And Rashi comes up with the following phenomena. What's the phenomena? What does Rashi say? That where? That in the Zeroa is what? There's a lot of bone. Because people don't have that much meat in there. Heavy bone. A little muscle, right? Not so much. So the bone there, the animals are not so fatty and the Zeroa. So the Zeroa has got an awful lot of atzamos in there. Whereas the rest of the animal has got a lot of meat in there. So Rashi says, once I just threw the numbers off, so now we can salvage a ratio of the Gemara. Why? Let's go back to the math again. If Yechesh bin Basav Yatzamos, you think that atzamos pose a problem? Bein l'kula bein l'chumra. They're a problem and they're a solution. So then you look at the entire Zeroa, connected the rest of the entire aisle, and you come up with the magic number for Shishim. But if you ignore Atzamas, so what does that mean? That if you ignore Atzamas, then in the Zeroa, which is the problematic part, you have a minuscule amount of meat. You have very, very little, a little bit of meat in there. Whereas in the rest of the animal, what do you have? Proportionally, you have an awful lot of meat in there. So now you got a little meat against a lot of meat. The atzamos are out to lunch. No pun intended. The atzamos are gone. The atzamos have been tossed out of the equation. Bailey is the bailey head because we don't care about atzamos anymore. But even though we'll only be Mishad Basar, Kedeged Basar, the numbers are not going to reach 60 because the ratio within this row itself is different than the ratio of meat to bones in the rest of the animal. And Rashi says that not just solve the problem. That's the solution. That's why, Baruch Hashem, we can still salvage the magic number 100. Phew. Rashi's orthopedics animal studies saved the day. Rashi was not the first person to be posed this challenge. Who posed this challenge hundreds of years before Rashi? Who posed the problem hundreds of years before Rashi? The Rishalmi. No one saw the Rishalmi. Who here read this Rush? Nobody read the Rush. Did you notice that the Rush is quoting a Rush? It's quoting Rishalmi. Nobody. If you didn't notice that, I don't know what was going on today. Okay, Chazmi from last week. So comes Rishalmi and asks the identical question that Rashi posed. He said, "Wait a second. What are you telling me? Abubamai said that the number is going to be 100. If you bump bones out of the picture, so the bones have to be bumped out of the picture. Bein l'kula bein l'chumra. What does Rishalmi answer? Wrong." Rishalmi says it's not true. Rishalmi says that even if you hold that bones are not relevant, what that means is as follows. Bones are not relevant to cause problems. Bones don't create isurim. Atzamos are not trade per se. Atzamos are not condition. They're not causing a problem for us. But guess what? The bones in the rest of the animal will do what for us? Are going to help us. The bones in the rest of the animal are going to help the shear of shishim or the shear of meah. They're going to hike the number. We're going to treat the bones as being Devar Mamutarim. The bones, unlike Rashi, you assume either bones are here, either they're forced or against, you can't have both. No, Rishalmi says the bones are not causing a problem. You don't have to reckon them in terms of Yechashbin. Look at sir. And guess what? The bones shall have there are going to help you to add the numbers as well. Now, if that's the case, that the bones are going to help you, that causes a problem. That sounds like a great cooler, right? But that's a big chumra. Why is that a chumra? If you can tell me that the bones are helping you, so then why is that result now in a humongous chumra? Why? Because now the illustration that the Torah is describing to you of bitol is a little bit of meat, because bones are not a problem, a little bit of meat and a lot of what? And a lot of bones plus what? Plus meat. And a lot of the rest of the ayah, which is meat and bones all rolled them together. really, the Torah is describing a picture of a little bit of meat in a huge, 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 huge pile of meat and bones together. Well, we do the math, and what number do we come up with? Oh my goodness, Meah, and therefore this is a huge chumrah, because now you can no longer rely on Bitl B'Shishin. Now, all of the Chesterovs, all of you are dead, now requires Meah. Because of the fact that bones, we thought we'd be making, we thought we'd doing you a favor by counting the bones. No, forget, we're doing you a disservice by counting the bones. Because we're counting the bones towards the Heter, not towards the Yisra, but towards the Heter, so then the only picture that the Torah is painting for us is a picture with the magic number 100. Since we now have the magic number 100 as a model, as we answer that, we can't go below the number. That's the model of the Torah. Zeh HaKosav HaTorah. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. Neah is the Shear. So comes the Rishami and posed the exact same question as Rashi and came up with a totally, completely different answer that the Rishami had that said that the Atzamas are going to help us and therefore, by extension, going to hurt us to hike the number up to there. That's the Rishami's answer. Why do you think Rashi veered from the Rishami? Why do you think, if the Rishami already asked the question, why do you think Rashi felt compelled to give a different answer that says the Rishami? What do you think prompted Rashi to say this? Within the Madiyamar of Meah, we're looking for where's the magic number Meah. So Rashi says the magic number Meah is the disproportion between Zeroa and Bosar is not the same, right? They're not the same proportion of meat and bones. The Rishami said, because the Atzmas, the Atzamos, Haheter, are helping to be with Starev. How come Rashi didn't say
isn't
that?
Isn't this within the
Mandiyam of Rashishin? No, within the Mandiyam of Rashishin, you take both the Atzamos. We're all within the Mandiyam of Meah. We're all within the Mandiyam of Meah. Within the Mandiyam of Meah. Okay, that bones are not a problem lesser. So Rashi says they're not a problem lesser, and they're not going to help you Lahatar either. So therefore, you're back to the number. If you're back to the kasha, then came your numbers are off. So to which Rashi had to redo the bone density of the animal. Whereas according to the Rishami, no, the bones are helping you. So therefore, the Torah is depicting a much, much higher number. If the Torah is depicting a higher number of head there, then you only have a muk, but that there's a bit of a man. That's what the Rishami says. I don't know. So what do you think what do you think prevented Rashi? So who saw the Rash? Didn't the Rash quote the Rash? What prevented Rashi from saying this is the Lashon HaGemara. What does the Gemara say? But the Gemara says, "Man diomar b'meya sovar bosa b'hadi bosa b'sharinon b'havle b'meya." What did the Bavli not say? Bosa b'hadi what? Bosa b'hadi bosa yatzamus b'sharinon. If the Yishalmi is so right, if the Yishalmi's calculation is right, that even if bones don't asa them matir, so then the Gemara should have said is Bosar of Isabahadi Bosar Vatsamas the Hatha Bisharina. The Bible should have made mention of the Atzamah Shal Hatha, because they are such a major component of the Shia. And the fact that the Bible didn't mention it, it would appear that the Bible's opinion was that Atzamas Lamalamir, that once you take Atzamas out of the equation, they can't create Isurim, they can't create a Terim either. And therefore, Rashi was posing the question, Abazoi, that they can't create a ten, can't create Isurim, so then why do you have to insist on the number 100, which Rashi had to redo the bone density of the animal's shoulder. But according to the Rishami, you don't have to redo anything, you don't have to check with the orthopedists, according to the Rishami, just simply that cheshbon, that bones don't hurt you, but bones do help you. So Rashi sounded like he saw in the Gemara and the Bavli, not that way. So the Rash already was sensitive to this, and the Rash wanted to salvage the Rishami. The Rash says, yeah, the Lashon HaGemara was Lavdafka Bosa Badi Basar. The only reason why the Gemara used the Lashon Bosa Badi Basar is because the Basar of the eye of the Zeroa is not only Basar. It would have sounded funny. Bosa Badi Basar Yatzamas. So the Rishami and the Bavli are saying the same thing. The Rash didn't believe there was a Machlekes. The Rash clearly understood there was a Machlekes. So, Bein Lefi Rashi, Bein Lefi Rishami, we solved the problem. We've discovered why one day the Gemara says the magic number 100, either because of Rashi, because the bone density is a little bit different, or because of Rishami, that the Atmos had to remit star. So far, so. But then...
Why is the Rishami not assuming that the bones will be star for this?
No, we're going within that mandiyama that bones don't have taste. Bones are not tasting anything. They're not bosa, they're not isur.
So
that's exactly, yes, wait a second. We don't understand this Rishon. Conceptually, we don't understand this Rishon. If it ain't Asar, how in the world can it help to dispel taste? If through all the reason why it's not Asar, presumably because it doesn't have any taste to it. If it doesn't have any taste to it, it's happened to help hide the taste. Anyone remember that kasha from Sugyas previously? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like Kedera. This is like that very, very strange day in the Gemara, the Kedera Atzma's Mishnah, right? If you eat a piece of pottery, that's not Nisar, but it doesn't matter. Somehow, something can be matter, even though it can't Asa. We don't understand it there, we don't understand it here either. Sometimes, so all time, we'll take the Rishama, you know, we'll be like, Rishama, we'll believe in the Rishama, follow the Rishama, good. That the bones don't hurt you, but the bones can potentially help you. Then the Rishama comes and makes an entire, completely 180 degree turn. What does the Rishama see at that point? Rishama's not even talking about bones anymore. It's talking about what? Tinophis of Truma, everyone saw that. It's talking about a little bit of Truma falls in, so every grain of Truma has some edible parts and some inedible, some of the grassy parts, some of the parts that's not edible, so we call in those bones. So with Rishama, he's talking about Tinophis Truma, we're just talking about bones. What does Rishama say? A startling statement. Rishama says, Abazoi, that the bones, or the Tinophis, or the Klippus, whatever you want to call them, all these things shall have their are okay. They're going to work for you, even though they don't work against you. The atzmos that have their are okay to help you hike up the number. What does Rishami then turn around and say? Startling. If the atzmos shall have their can help you, what else should be able to help you be mevatel davar oser? I can't even say it with a straight face. The Atzama Shalat? The Atzama Shalat also. In our case, the Atzama Shalat is Roa, or in other cases, the Atzama Shalat is the Chazir, the Neveila, the grass connected to the Truma, the peels connected to the eggs. You name your Dover Apostle, you name your Dover Enero Lachila. Once you're telling me that things that are not edible are not problems, but notwithstanding not being problems, there's still solutions, which again, we can't understand that Zach's having problems with that, and I'm still having problems with that also, but we're taking this on faith from the Rishami, that this phenomenon exists in Hilchos Tarovos, that something cannot cause a problem, but then in turn be a solution. So then why are you arbitrarily saying that only the kosher bones can be part of the solution? Why can't the chazas bones be part of the solution also? Because after all, they're not dvar masurim, because they're bones. On the other hand, what can they do? They can make a mutter. Gevalt gekula. Everyone saw that? Everyone caught that Rishami? Just threw it by us. Who caught that Rishami? So Rishami said that once you're willing to go on faith and say that the atzamos are not posing a problem, can be part of the solution, why should you distinguish between treifa bones and kosher bones? Even the treifa bones should be part of your cheshbon. As I say in Rishami. You know what Rishami says? You're right. In Hochinami, you're right. In Hochinami. You are right. So the Rosh got stuck a little bit with this Rishami. The Rosh said it should have been right. Rishami conceptually makes sense, as bizarre as it sounds. But the Rosh says there's some textual problems in the statement. He dug up a brisa in the Rishami itself. It doesn't seem to say this. And he kind of leaves us hanging. He never really explains the fact that the Rishami does say it, even though the Rishami just quoted a minute ago a brisa, it doesn't sound that way. And the Rosh just kind of leaves the tzarchin and moves on to the sugya. So I'm not exactly sure, but I had to corner the Rosh and ask him, so do you mean to say you don't accept the Rishami's conclusion? Or do you mean to say you don't believe the Rishami really said it? Do you believe to say you just have a question, but you're still calling? I'm not sure what the Rosh held, practically speaking. But we now, in Rebbeisa, have on the board three logical possibilities. What a take. Well, possibly, we're not taking out summuses in general. What's a general view when you have a piece of chaza falls into a pot of food and there's some bone mixed in there? What's that view when some nevela falls in with a bone? What's that view when zerubbabel shela falls in? What's that view when eggs with peels falls in? What's that view when truma with the grass falls in? What do we think about all these dvarim hapsulim lachila, things that are not really rare lachila? What's that take on them vis-a-vis? Are they problems? Are they not problems? Are they solutions? Are they not solutions? What do we think about all these things? So how many different possibilities do we have now just throwing around in front of us? One possibility is we could take one day in our Gemara and say that you have to be Mishar even the what? Even the Atzamos. That's one logical possibility, which would mean that Atzamos Yisur are also that they are part of the problem, not part of the solution. That's one day of the Gemara seems to be. That's another story. That's
not, isn't that similar to here anyway?
That's a different cheshbonos. So did you start out with 100 and you're adding 100 later? Here, we're not even sure what's in the magic number of 100. We're not sure what's in the magic number of shishin here. So we're just trying to first identify what items in this pot are going to help us, which items are going to hurt us. I got chazer in here, I got nevelos in here, I got trefus in here, I got drobashir, I got a lot of things, I got chons in here, I got loads of things in this pot, and I just want to first separate out in my mind what's part of the problem, what's part of the solution. It's like life. Very often, people walk around with life as a total chont. They have no idea. There are some things that are the problem. People think it's the solution. People don't realize sometimes the solution is the problem and vice versa. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out here. What is the problem? What's the solution? So according to one day in the Gemara, the Atzmos and Isser are a big, big problem. A huge problem. But of course, if the Atzmos and Isser are a big, big problem, what's the corollary of that? Basav Yatzamos, Badi Basav Yatzamos, Misharinin. What's the solution? The Atzmos are what? Atzmos have a solution. So according to one opinion, we break even on Atzamos. Atzos Isser Osrin, Atzros, Atzros Hector, Omatirin. They can be part of the solution of Shishim. Okay, so that's a straightforward, no Rishalmi, no fancy Rashi. This is one day in Agamar. That's the Mandiyomer Shishim. Once you get out of this Mandiyomer and you start to have a different view about Atzamos, so then you have a lot of different possibilities what you think the status of Atzamos is. Another possibility would be to say that Atzmos Isser Einan Osrim. Right? That's a possibility. That Atzmos Isser Einan Osrim. They don't pose a problem. It's not edible. It's not food. You don't have to worry about it. And what would the corollary of that be? If you go down this route, Atzmos Isser Einan Osrim, what should follow logically? Atzmos Heter, what? In a material. Right? It's just a washout. Just cross bones out. Just look at Bosar. Whose sheet is this? Whose sheet is number two? This is Rashi. Rashi and Arsugya. Lemandiyamar, what? Rashi Besugyan. Right? Lemandiyamar, what? The man. Okay? This is Rashi. Then you have a third possibility, which is Atzmos Isser Einan Osrin. But what? But Atzmos. We're working this part of this here. Atzmos Heter, notice. Right? Material. Okay? We had to pinpoint the Shita. Who is the name? Which name could put in the Shita? It's definitely not Rashi. It's not exactly the Yerushalmi because Atzmos Heter, I underlined this 100 times, but I'll make it even clearer. Atzmos Isser, what? Einan Matirin. Right? Who is this Shita? I mean, we'll call it a Shita. We're not exactly sure whether he held this way. Who? These are Rush's tame on the Yerushalmi, in effect. This is what the Rush says. How can the Yerushalmi say such a thing? That doesn't the Yerushalmi itself seem to subscribe to the Shita? So this is, we're going to call this the Rush, right? Bidas HaYerushalmi. Bidas who? Laman Diomar, what? What? Meir. Careful, we're running out of boardroom. Make it a little small. Who's the fourth Shita? Fourth Shita is we're having a lot of problems. I need a little, you guys need some more markers. Okay, they're right on my desk. Okay, if you just grab like 20 of them, probably one or two of them may work. The rest are about to be there. should have saved some room. Everyone follow what's going on here? I told you this is easy sugya, right? It's less lumbus, more calculations. Every single thing. Okay. Let's see what we got here. All right, ta-da. Fourth, okay? Fourth shita. Atzmaus. Yes, sir. Einan. Okay? Atzmaus. Hefter. Hatirin. Who's got the next line? Atzmaus. Yes, sir. Kam kemen hatirin. That is Matir. This is Matir. Who are we going to identify this as? Who is this? This is really, truly, honest to goodness, what? What Rishalmi says. I mean, we'll call it the Rosh. Oh, come on. Vidas. Hey, Rishalmi. Assuming that you need Laman Diyamar Kuf. Okay? So we have three different versions within the day of 100, what that day thought about the role of Atzomus. Everyone agrees, Atzmaus Isserin and Osrin, that's a given within the Mandiyomer Kuf. Whether that Mandiyomer then said, Atzmaus Heter are just not in the picture, everything's out of the picture, or the Atzmaus Heter at least can help us, or even the Atzmaus Isserin can help us, that's a three or much like it's Rashi and Asugya against the Rashi's, what he thinks Dushama should have been saying, and ultimately what honestly the Rashi says Dushama really did say. Okay? Three sheetas. What's the name of the first sheeta here? Where it settles on top. This is the name. Toss this one out. This is the name of that topic. Oh, this is it. Settles. Okay, this has got to go. What's this? What is this supposed to say? Who is the Atzmaus Isser Osir and Atzmaus Heta Matirin? Who is that? Laman Diomar. Okay. No, that's pretty much how the sugya plays out, okay? Four different logical possibilities. Right? Sounds good? Everyone's got it so far? Okay. Comes the Rash. In that long Rash, quoted by that long Rash. Probably that long Rishaman. Commenting on this tiny line of the Bavli. Everything we've been saying from this point on is nice for Lundus, but totally and completely irrelevant lahalacha. Right? Why irrelevant lahalacha? I couldn't care less what you think about the Atzmaus Isser, Atzmaus Heter, Mitztafer, not Mitztafer. Why? Why? Because we all know how we paskin. Anyone here doesn't know that we paskin shishim? The Gemara says it 100 times. Hilchos HaKol Tarkul B'Shishim. The Gemara of Anazar, the Gemara here. Hilchos HaKol Tarkul B'Shishim. Everybody knows that. We've never spoke about Meah. By Truma, we talk about Meah Midrash, but we know the Shir Shishim. So we who have already nimnu the Gemara the paskin the many pem holy the fair hilchos of kolatar kul chayitzim shutay b'shishim. If kolatar kul is b'shishim, so then everything about from 2, 3, and 4 on is meaningless. The only thing that really matters is what is this box. Is the only thing that matters. Nothing more, nothing less. And therefore, what would the ramifications be if you have a piece of chazer that falls into a pot and you ask, Rabbi, how much chazer do I have here? What's the rabbi's answer? You have a lot of chazer here. Why? Because not only do you have basar, what else do you have? You have a tzamas also. And the tzamas of the chazer, no problem. You have tzamas of your nevela, no problem. So the Rashi says, that's the chavit that it should be. So it was a nice discussion, three different possibilities. Is the Rashi right? Is the Rush right? Is the Rashi right? It's nice, true, but irrelevant. It's not relevant at all, halacha. Because we all know we paskin shishim, so mela, we must paskin atzmos isra osrin. Atzmos heter, matira, that's beautiful, that's wonderful. And let's say a piece of chaza falls into a pot of potatoes, so you're on atzmos heter, so you have a problem. So you have to mishar the entire chaza, meat and bone shivo, keneged the potatoes. That's what the din should be, pretty befeirish. Until the Rash discovered something else. Rash knew every single Rishami inside out, upside down. Rash put the page on Zeroyim and on Taharim. He knew every Rishami klor in his sleep. What does the Rishami say? What Rishami did the Rash discover now? The Rishami talks about what? It's about baits, about eggs and klipas. Halachic klipas, not other kinds of klipas. Okay? So comes the Yerushalmi and says, we all pass in Shishim. Yerushalmi itself is talking to Magic Number Shishim. And at the same time that the Yerushalmi is talking to Magic Number Shishim, it talks about the possibility of the klipas of the Beitzah not only not posing a problem, but even what? Being part of the solution, which is not a great surprise because this is all part of the Yerushalmi's general view. And again, this is of course being brought to us by the Rash, who thought the Yerushalmi really said it, because it does. So the Rash says, hey, wait a second. I just made a whole calculation that if you're a Shisha person, so then Atzmas Isser or Osrin. But the Yerushalmi is also a Shishim person at the end. At the end, Yerushalmi also paskins Shishim, like the Mavli, and still talks about the possibility of the Klipas being part of the solution. How could the Klipas be a solution? They're part of the problem. The Klipas are a problem. Why are the Klipas any different than Atzamas? Therein lies the Rashi's Tamiya, Tzarchi and Godel. According to everything I just told you, according to the way we just read the Gemara in Chulin, we just recited the both Yerushalmis, if you really honestly believe Shishim is the number, which Yerushalmi itself does on that same page, so then, Atzmas is by definition of Asering, and therefore Klipa should Aser also. What is Pshat of Yerushalmi? That is the problem that the Rash poses. So everybody said, whenever you have a steer like this, a steer Galuya, the Bavli says Beferish, but you hold that some of us are a problem, then the number is Shishim. And Yerushalmi says, no, Klipas are okay, the number is still Shishim. How could that be? How are you talking? So there are three ways to solve that problem. What are they? No, come on. Just Lumbus one, learning 101. Either you have to do a major surgery on the Bavli, or you have to do a major surgery on the Yerushalmi, or what do you have to say? There's a chilek between the two. There's a difference between the two. So three different possibilities, three different approaches to the Rishayim. What are the three approaches in the Rishayim? What are the three approaches in the Rishayim? So comes the Rash and says, which Gemara is going to have to go? What, which Gemara is going to go? If you had an opt for which Gemara is going to go, which Gemara would you say we go? I would say Yerushalmi. I like the Bavli, right? Tam Bavli always beats out Yerushalmi. No, Rash says, the Yerushalmi carries the day. And therefore, Klipos are really truly Mutter. And if Klipos are Mutter, what else is Mutter? What else is Mutter? Atzamas are also Mutter. They don't cause problems and they set part of solutions. And there's no difference between a klipa and an etzem. And don't tell me a bubamites. Otherwise, the Rash opened up the possibility for what he called the bubamites and said it's wrong. And don't tell me someone he has meiselach about the bones are different than klipas. It's all the same. This is inedible. Try to break your teeth on a bone, break your teeth on an eggshell. It's all the same thing. The inedible parts of foods, and therefore, Yerushalmi has to be taken totally, completely at face value. The klipas are a mutter and fine. Oh, wait a second. If the klipas are mutter, if someone's a mutter, then how do we end up stuck with what number? How do we end up with the number 60? Right? That undermines the whole shir shishim. You know what the Rash says? Don't take which Gemara so seriously. Don't take the Bible so seriously. You know why? You're right, the math doesn't add up. You're right, the numbers don't really work. What do you mean the numbers don't work? What is this, a joke? This is a game? This Rosh Hashanah is a big farce. It's not real. What's the answer? Yeah, it's not so real. You know what it is? What is Rosh Hashanah? It's only the Rabban anyway. It's only a smacht anyway. The whole thing's not a real limud. This is not real. This is just a way of mnemonic devices to remember. How do you remember the magic number Shishim or the magic number Meir? Where did Shishim really come from? What did the Baalei Tosfos say in last sugya? Kabbalah Isavi Adam. They had a tradition that somebody in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu did some work in the laboratory and came with the magic number Shishim and Kachava. And now is a nice way of remembering. Let's throw it into the Pasha's Rosh Hashanah and hit the Pasha's Nosa for good luck. But this is not a Liman, this is not a Yofusa. And again, this is not a great surprise. The Rash was for the Tamidim from the Re. He was a continuation of Baalei Tosfos. Tosfos already told us that this Gemara is not so serious. What prompted Tosfos to believe the Gemara wasn't so serious? Because it's about Mimishenomino and the Pasuk about Mimimino. And how could you draw that? How could you connect to? How could you cross that bridge? Only one person in the history of the world crossed that bridge. Who was that? Who? Some Sofer, Midas Rashi, everyone else got, fell into the water. Some Sofer said, yeah, that's the same bridge. Shabitl, it's all the same bridge. But nobody has chosen to buy into that. The whole thing is the Rabbanu, the whole thing is the Smachta B'Yam. And therefore the Rash says, you know what? It was a nice sugyo while we were learning it. And it was really nice and kind of cool to think that the numbers of Shish and Gia really corresponds to bones and to meat and orthopedics and veterinary. At the end of the day, it doesn't really work out. At the end of the day, the whole thing is not really true. The Shir Shishim, because Kabbal Haisa B'Yadam. And the emes is that the bones don't cause a problem anyway. And this Rabbi Shela is not really a good example of Shishim. And just leave me alone. That's what the Rash says. And just don't lose any sleep. It's a Sunday morning Shir. Anyway, half the guys aren't here. Anyway, it doesn't matter, says the Rash. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Nothing really matters. It's all Smachta B'Yadam. Kind of let down to the sugya. Other Rishonim said, not a chance. We're not going to take the Bavli and just toss it out the window. You know what we're going to reject? Rishalmi. And who's the Rosh Hashanah who rejected Rishalmi?
Zerban.
Zerban says, you have machlokes Bavli Rishalmi, you're going to side with the Rishalmi, you're going to revamp and do surgery on the Bavli? No, you're not. You're just going to say, do Rishalmi, shalom, halacha, I'm finished. But halacha, lemaisa, 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 if we would have a shayla, since we paskin shishim, Ramban says, therefore, if you have a piece of chazal and a bone falls inside, you got to reckon with that bone also. You can't ignore the bone. The bone's not going to not be part of the solution, it's part of the problem. According to the Rash, it's so great, the bone to the chazal. So we need very, very bony chazerim, because the more bones, the better off for us. Says the Ramban, no, it's not. The more bones, the worse off you are, because bones are the same as meat in terms of causing problems. Because we paskin shishim, which by definition means asos isra, isra. That's what's heter matirin. Okay, that's nice. That's cute. Potato soup's not going to help you very much. Not too many bones. But the atmos and isra are problematic. So you have the Rash and the Ramban and Mamash, you know, kotze la kotze, in terms of resolving the apparent steer between the Bavli and the Rishami. And which great Rishon said, no, we want the Bavli to be happy, we want the Rishami. Everyone should be happy. Who is that? The Ran. The Rash alludes to this kind of bechiluk and rejects it outright, but the Ran says it's true. What's the answer? Bones are not the same as peels. Bones are problematic and peels are not. You know why? Because not all bones are the same. Some bones are really, really dry. They're really, really dry, dry, dried out bone. It's like an eggshell. But a juicy, these guys are sitting on, suck away at the marrow. Come on, the bone has a good, yummy taste to it. A yummy, soft, chewable bone on a little zroah of a little aisle could be a problem. And therefore, the answer to the question, are bones a problem, are peels a problem? The answer depends what they are. Peels are generally not a problem, and therefore they're part of the solution. Bones, if they're very soft, are not part of the problem. If they're very hard, then they're part of the solution also. So we have three shittas in Rishon, Gedolei and Rishon, and what this answer to the bottom line is between the Bavli's analysis of the bones versus the Rishon's analysis. How does this play out the Shulchan Aruch? One would have expected that all three shittas would appear in Shulchan Aruch. And the answer is, it's a little bit of a twist. Three shittas do appear in Shulchan Aruch and the Netzei Kalim, but not these three. Anyone notice what I meant? Anyone look at the Shulchan Aruch? Anyone, did I put it in Mamre Kamos? Anyone take this to get to the last step? The Shulchan Aruch is make a lot right. Mamre is straight out like, who? Oh. Shulchan Aruch is so make on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, says the Shulchan Aruch, everything is mitzvah from the heter. The good bones, the bad bones, everything. Why? How did the Shulchan Aruch paskin? He paskin like the Rash, that the Yerushalmi is really stamped. The Yerushalmi said about peel is the emes about bones. And he took the most cool, the most lenient version that everything is good. The atzmos heter amat, the atzmos iser, everything's okay, the Shulchan Aruch says. So this is the Pesach Shulchan Aruch. Mamish right out of the world. He took it straight out of the Rash, out of the Rush, right out of the Rishami. The Bavli never really meant anything seriously. Everything's an asmachta. The Rishami carries the day. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Shach says, Lufini is naiti b'shas Rishami, kedasa ra'ov ha'ran, the atzmos harakos mitztafos liyasir, but of all atzmos yaveshim, so says the Shach, he thinks we should follow the Ran, that the Bavli and the Rishami are both right. There's a difference between soft bones versus hard peels. Soft bones are a problem, hard peels are a solution. That's what the Shach says. And now we're waiting for the third Shita. Who are we expecting to appear somewhere on the page? We're expecting somebody to say, what? to say the Ramban. Right? What does the Ramban say again? Let's chaz for a second. What does the Ramban say? That Yerushalmi is completely rejected, and bones are a huge problem. They're a real, real, real serious problem, and there's nothing to discuss. That's what we're expecting somebody to say right out of the word of the Ramban. And then we find the Ramah. The Ramah writes, V'yesh machmirim shelo letzayif atzpal se'isr mehet levatil. There are some who say that you can't use the treif of bones as part of the solution. Adkan. Some say that don't use the treif of bones as part of the solution. Implying what? They're not part of the solution, but they're also not what? They're also not part of the problem. That is not who's speaking. Not by a long shot. Who is that not? That's not the Ramban. The Ramban would never say such a thing. So who is the Ramban quoting? The Ramban never made it onto the page. Nobody quotes the Ramban. I'm going to say like the Ramban, reject Mishal, we follow the Bible. Now, obviously, that's the best sheet. Nobody, not Machaber, Ramah, Shachtat, because there's a grunt, nobody quotes the Ramban. It didn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. Who is this mysterious third sheet that the Ramah is quoting that? He's saying bones are not really a problem, so you don't have to reckon connected them. On the other hand, you can't use the bones of Isser to solve your problem. The bones of Heth you can, but the bones of Isser you can't. There's something problematic with using the bones of Isser as part of the solution. Who on this board is the Ramah referencing? He's right out of the Rush. Now, we're not even sure the Rush said it. Remember, we said the Rush kind of just threw his hands up and said, gee, that's what the Vin should be, that's what it sounds like. He was just commenting on the inconsistency in Yerushalmi. And the Ramah picked up in the Rush says, yeah, that's the Din. At least the Chachila. Says that's what the Ramah says, that's what we should follow. This should be a regular approach. This should be conventional wisdom. So, Rabbi Sai, the Rashi is straight Yerushalmi, kulo legami, legami, totally, completely tossing out Agamar, calling it a spach nam and ignoring it, made it to Shulchan Aruch, as the Shulchan Aruch sheet itself. The Shita of the Ran to try to save face for both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, so that made it snuck its way into a shach. The Rosh Shita that got revamped and made its way into a Yeshomim, into a Ramah. And the only Shita that we would have started thinking, well, if we were just learning Bavli, before we opened Rashas and Rashas and Rishami, if we were just reading Agamar, we would have paskin, Atzmos Isser Osrin, straight out of the Ramban. The only Shita that's based entirely, completely on Talmud Bavli, does not even appear anywhere on the page. It's a little bizarre, no? A little strange. I just mapped out the sugya for you. Pasha, just go through the math. Just do the cheshbon. Four different possibilities. Three made it to Shulchan Aruch. One didn't. The one that should have made it to Shulchan Aruch was our sugya. Our sugya got lost in the shuffle in terms of has to be revamped and lighted to a shaman. So in order to ourselves, we say again, this was a very easy sugya and a very hard sugya both at the same time. It was a very easy sugya because there was very, very little bumbus in the sugya. We didn't have to do dinner, we didn't have to skateras, we didn't have all kind of fancy schmancy footwork. On the other hand, it was a very hard sugya because it just takes a little bit of help and cough in terms of the different possibilities. But if you just think it through and work it through a class a little bit, you'll see that it's pretty straightforward. Four different logical possibilities. It all revolves around what the Bavli said, what the Rishonim said. It's not like this. Like this. Rashes, shachs, rounds, everything all thrown into the picture. Little chazar that we mention tomorrow, by side, so we start the next main sugya, which is a lot of heavy duty alumnus again, which will be both alumnus sugya and a hard sugya. That's a two-hour we'll start. So those who got a little bit lost today, don't worry, hang in there. Start a mission tomorrow. Okay, it was our mission.